Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Modern day Bethlehem is home to one of the oldest continually operating church buildings in the world. The Greek Orthodox, the Armenian Orthodox, and the Roman Catholic churches all take care of it together. It was originally built in the year 330 by the Emperor Constantine, the first Roman emperor who was Christian. It was mostly destroyed in 529, but then later it was rebuilt by the Byzantine Emperor Justinian. His structure was bigger and grander than the original one, and it is largely the building that still stands today. It is the Church of the Nativity. To enter the church, visitors first have to bend low to enter the door of humility, which stands at only 4 feet tall. And yes, there is a symbolic significance at having to lower yourself to enter the place where God lowered himself to earth. But the small doorway was actually built to prevent looters from bringing in their carts. Once inside, pilgrims will see various mosaics on the floor and walls, each with a rich history. There's also a large octagon-shaped baptismal font dating from the 6th century when Justinian did his renovations. And the inscription on the font is in Latin, but translated it says, "For remembrance, rest, and remission of sins of those whose names the Lord knows." But by far, the focal point of the Church of the Nativity is the Grotto of the Nativity. A stairway next to the altar leads down into the grotto. This cave, measuring 10 feet by 40 feet, is said to be the very cave in which Jesus was born. There are even written references to this cave that go back as far as the year 160. Inside the cave, there is a 14-pointed silver star on the ground, marking the birth spot. And around the star is an inscription, which translated says, "Here of the Virgin Mary, Jesus Christ was born." The floor is paved in marble, and there are 15 lamps hanging above the altar. In the 4th century, in Constantine's time, the grotto was enlarged to make room for pilgrims, and a silver manger was installed. Well, St. Jerome, the man who translated the Bible from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, lived in Bethlehem in the 4th century. And in fact, pilgrims can visit the very cave where he lived, because it is right under the Church of the Nativity. Well, when this silver manger was installed in the grotto, St. Jerome was not very happy about it. He wrote, "If I could only see the manger in which the Lord lay. Now, as if to honor the Christ, we have removed the poor one and placed there a silver one. However, for me, the one which was removed is more precious." Now, as many of you know, this February, I'll be visiting the Holy Land, and one of the stops on our itinerary is the Church of the Nativity. And although it will be amazing to see, I think St. Jerome's got a good point. I'd like to see the original manger, not all the trappings that have been in place of it. Jesus wasn't laid in some ornate silver manger. It was likely a basic wooden one. But if our group visits Church of St. Catherine, which is right next door to the Church of the Nativity, then we may get to see the original manger, or at least part of it. According to a Newsweek article published on November 30th, there is a wooden fragment that is only a few inches long, which is said to be part of Jesus' original manger. This fragment has been transferred from the Vatican to Bethlehem so that pilgrims can see it. and it was transported in an ornate silver frame called a reliquary. Okay, let's stop and think about all this for a moment. Here we have this luxurious church building full of mosaics and marble. We have a 14-pointed star, we have a silver manger, and we have a tiny piece of wood transported in a fancy silver frame. Although I understand that all of this is trying to honor Jesus, something about it doesn't quite feel right. First of all, there's no guarantee that this is the exact spot on which Jesus was born, or that this tiny piece of wood is really from his manger. Plus, with all of this fancy stuff, it seems far removed from the experiences of Mary and Joseph back in the first century. And yet, this isn't something that's unique to the Church of the Nativity. We do it here in Dayton, Ohio, too. Right? Like, when every December rolls around, we start seeing things like Christmas trees and gifts and all those favorite Christmas movies on TV. We have the sentimentality and commercialism of Christmas. We have all this wonderfully fancy stuff, but it seems far removed from what happened 2,000 years ago. And I know that we're not pretending to be back there in Bethlehem with Mary and Joseph. We're not pretending that Jesus was born for the first time right now. Things have changed. I get that. But something can still feel a little off. Right now, I don't mean that in the sense that we need to put Christ back in Christmas. Right, we've all heard that cliche. And besides, he never left, so we don't need to put him back. Instead, what I mean is that even though Christ is here, it's so easy for us to become distracted by everything else that's been put around him. Like, think about this famous gospel reading for tonight. Long before there were countless pilgrims flocking to Bethlehem to see a silver manger and a tiny grotto in a fancy church, there was a scared young couple traveling to Bethlehem who found a place to stay in a cave. But listen again to how the story starts. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. This registration, this census, was the big event at the time. This is what everyone would have been talking about. This was the trending topic. Basically, if you asked people what they were paying attention to, they would have said the census. And in the midst of all of that commotion, in the midst of everyone traveling to the home of their ancestors, there was Mary and Joseph. And like everyone else, they were caught up in the rush of the census. They were on the move. They were trying to find a place to stay. They were busy and distracted and trying to deal with the fact that Mary's water could break at any moment. And sure, they had heard the message from the angels about Jesus' birth. Mary heard it when the angel told her she'd be pregnant. And Joseph heard it in his dream when the angel said to take Mary as his wife. But during the census, those messages didn't seem true to their experience. They were focused on other things at the time. So often we hear the story of God at work, but then we get focused on other things too. We pay attention to wrapping those last few presents. We think about what we'll be having for dinner tonight, or where we'll be in the morning for gift giving. We think about those credit card bills that'll show up in a few weeks. We think about how certain loved ones aren't with us this Christmas. And so whether it's the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, a census decreed by the emperor, or our lives today, there is a lot around Christmas that can distract us. And yet the good news here is that even in the midst of our distractions, Jesus is born. Even though there are mosaics and marble and silver mangers, Jesus was still born. Even though the census happened, Mary was tired and Joseph was scared, Jesus was still born. And even though we get preoccupied with making our to-do list and checking it twice, Jesus was still born. So this is not about us remembering to put Christ back in Christmas. Instead, this is about how God has come into our world. God has come to us. Just as God came to Mary and Joseph, God has come to you. In the midst of your hustle and bustle and decorations and dinners and worries and wrappings, God has come to us. So listen again to the message of those angels. To you, who are distracted by many things, was born in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And so, like the shepherds who heard that angelic announcement, we see him too. Here, together, tonight. And then we rush out to tell others, over the hills and everywhere. Which means maybe all of that fancy stuff we have at Christmas isn't so bad after all. Maybe the mosaics and the marble and the silver manger are okay. Maybe the Christmas trees and the gifts and the old Christmas movies are good too. Because we want to celebrate this one who has come to us. We want to tell the world who he is. We want to honor him because he has changed the world. And whether that's in Bethlehem or in Dayton, at the Church of the Nativity or here at St. Paul, the birth of Jesus is something worth celebrating, no matter what else is going on around it. So glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. In the name of the one who was born for you and me, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.